2013, and it is a beautiful day here in Central Texas. How the weather is where you are. I hope it's just a beautiful day where you are as well. Now, let's see. What are we going to talk about today? I think today we have a very interesting, a very, 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 very interesting show for you. And the title of the show is, It's Time for the Constitution to be Revised. Now, I know that's one hell of a question, isn't it? There are certain things we do know that can and can't happen with the Constitution, but we'll get to that in a little bit. So what y'all doing out there? What's going on? It's one of those days, y'all, one of those days. It seems like it should be a weekend or something. Everything is moving kind of slow. But you know what? It's okay, because I'm sure we're going to speed it up just a little bit for you. You know what I mean? I tell you. Now, if you want to join in the conversation today, that's no problem. Just give me a call, 347-838-8622. You can email me at ericlesstalk@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at driven4life62. Or you can go to my Facebook page and leave me a message and some comments there. ericlesstalk@facebook.com. Okay, those are the ways you can also get in contact with me. Now, if you want to talk to me today in the chat room, that's no problem either. All you do is go to www.blogtalkradio.com/ericjackson62, or just go to the Blog Talk Radio site in the search engine, put Mr. Talk, all one word, and it should bring you right into the chat room with me. And we can get our conversation on there as well. You know, it's just one of those things to where we're going to have us a good time today. We are. Now, before we get started, see, there's a couple of things that I do need to say. Of course, this show covers a lot of sensitive and touchy subjects. And in a lot of cases, some things are said may upset one of some of you, or may, you know, cause some of you to blush or what have you. Well, I just want to say at this time, I do apologize for that, because it's not intentional. It's not intentional at all. And because it's not intentional, I want you to take it that way. So once again, I'm saying I apologize right now for anything that may offend any of you. Of course, there are some things that I'm just not going to let go on the show anyway, certain words and phrases and things of that nature. So you don't have to worry about that. Because it's just not going to happen. No. I shut it down first. Hey, that's just the way it is. Say, the man's right here. Yeah, that's the way it is, for real. Okay? Now, and also, another special note. This Saturday, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, a special edition of Let's Talk, where we have our guest, a national renowned author, Miss Dr. V. Monroe Congress. And, yeah, we're going to have a good show. And the title of that show is going to be relationships, conflicts, and resolutions. Because y'all know we always talk about the conflicts of relationships and, you know, what causes them and so forth and so on. But Saturday, we're going to try to get some solutions for it, you know, some resolutions. So we can come up with some answers that get us over the hump, take us in the direction we really need to go. Okay? So don't forget Saturday, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Special edition of Let's Talk. All right. Now that we have all that out of the way, let's see what else we're going to talk about today. Well, we have some things we do need to talk about. Okay? So, yeah, don't forget to put it on your calendar, though. Saturday, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Saturday. And we have Dr. Vivi Monroe Congress, renowned author and spiritual life coach, is going to be talking with us on relationships. So make sure you're there, y'all, because it's going to be a good one. I can guarantee that one. 504, I see you. Welcome in the house, man. I see you out there. All right, like we always do before we get started with today's topic, there's some things that we always have to talk about. And y'all know me, I try and keep y'all up to date on certain things that we've talked about a lot. And, of course, here's Mante Teo. Yes, we got another Mante Teo story. Apparently, Mr. Renaya Tuosopo, he claims he is in love with Mante Teo. Okay, yes. Oh, Lord have mercy. Apparently, he's in love with the former college football star, Mante Teo. Y'all know who Teo is. That's the one that supposedly had the girlfriend, didn't realize that she really wasn't alive, that she really didn't exist at all. Yeah, him. Well, the guy who actually did the prank, or the hoax, or however you want to call it, he claims that he's actually in love with the boy. Ooh, boy, now, see, that's a whole nother twist to it. I told y'all, this story just gets crazier and crazier, right? But we're going to get to it eventually. Apparently, Mr. Tuosopo is a man who has struggled with his identity his entire life. And apparently he has feelings for the same sex. Of course, you know, his culture, that is not nothing that's normal in his culture. So I can see why he's kind of wanted to hide it. You know, his religion and most certainly his family. So, you know, how can we put it? Like in the same sex just doesn't run in his family. So they're kind of shocked with that as well. According to media reports, Tuosopo has never had a serious physical relationship with anyone before and developed a female persona as a way to express his true orientation. All right. See, it's getting... All right. Tuosopo ran the catfish scam on Teo. He unintentionally, in other words, he didn't mean to develop intense feelings for Teo. But it happened because he was playing his role so well, he developed these feelings. My graciousness. Yeah, he developed these feelings. Wow. You know what? I just want to stop right there. Ooh, wow. But apparently this is the first time he's felt for someone emotionally, although he's run this scam on other people before. Okay, because he was tormented on the inside. You know, it brought out all kind of confused feelings about him. So he just shut down emotionally and began to play out as much of his life through fantasy. But he had shut down his emotions for so long, it may be irreversible. Now, this is what I'm going to tell you. How can I put this? I'm going to put it as simply as I can. That's bullshit. Look, as I told y'all, I don't think he really had too much to do with it. But this other kid right here, Mr. Tuosopo, he's a sick individual. And it wasn't that he just started having these type of feelings. You're not going to make me believe that. I think he's been doing some other things under the cover. He's been on the down low. Ain't that what y'all say? Y'all like to say for time? He was on the down low. He just didn't want anybody else to know it. That's right. He didn't want anybody else to know it. So now we know. We know. He developed feelings for the other boy, for Tayo, the linebacker, and he didn't want anybody to know that he had these feelings, so he kept going and kept going and kept going. So he got caught. Till his feelings just overcame him to the point to where he had to come clean. Ooh, Lord have mercy. You know what? and the sad part about it, I'm going to tell you, although it's, you know, he's actually admitting to doing so much of this by himself, here's the bottom line. Everybody's going to look at Matt Tateo as the one who's actually perpetrated this little hoax, that he had something to do with it. I can't say that he did, and I can't say, well, I'm leaning more to he really didn't now. At one point, I said no. Then after more stuff came out, I said, well, maybe Tayo did have a little bit of knowledge of this. But all this going on, yeah, I think the boy did this basically on his own. And, of course, he was on Dr. Phil's show, and he did say that he was, well, first he said he was homosexual. Then I guess he thought about what he was saying. Then he said, no, I'm confused. And I think that was a better word for what his problem is right now. He's confused as hell. There's a lot of individuals out there like that. They just confused as hell. Okay. You know, I know Joe. Where Joe at? Because I know Joe going to be talking about, nah, I'm still not buying it. But Joe, I'm just saying, the man is putting it out there. He's making it known. Or you think he's been paid off to take the fall? That's what y'all think about that? Y'all think he's been paid off to take the fall? Just so mental Tayo, you know, draft status won't fall. Especially with last week's comments about homosexuals in the NFL. I think that kind of puts a little emphasis on things, doesn't it? Wow. I'm just saying. Don't get mad at me. I'm just the messenger. They putting it out there. I'm just telling you what they said. That's all I'm doing. But okay, I'm going to move on from that story. Basically, Tutu Sopo, he did it all on his own, him and his cousin. But he fell in love with Manti Te'o, and that's what happened. Okay? And more to follow, I'm sure. All right. Now, there's a woman, oh, Lord, in Clark County, Nevada, well, basically Las Vegas, and she is suing Match.com for nearly $10 million. That's right, Match.com. Y'all know what Match.com is, one of them dating sites. And, you know, because the sites are so popular now, you know, basically anything can happen. And this is why she's suing them, because apparently she was nearly stabbed to death by a man she met on Match.com. Now, this woman was 49 years old, and she claims Match.com misled her into believing her subscription would result in a stable and loving relationship with another member. Okay. The lawsuit also claims Match.com failed to warn Beckman that she might meet someone whose intentions are not to find a mate, but to find victims to kill or rape. Now, here's. Now, she signed up for an account in August of 2010 and was matched up with a 53-year-old man. Okay, she met him on September the 25th in the same year, 2010, but decided she didn't want to see him anymore 10 days later, after which the guy allegedly sent her threatening messages. 4 months later, he hid in her garage and stabbed her 10 times. She required surgery to repair her jaw, preserve her eyesight, and replace part of her skull. Okay. The guy was later charged in the case and sentenced to 70 years in prison, but he committed suicide. Now she is seeking, Beckman is seeking $346,000 in economic damages, $5.4 million in non-economic damages, and $4.1 million in punitive damages. Okay. And all because she went on Match.com and found the wrong person. So now she wants to blame it on Match.com because they didn't tell her that she may meet somebody who wanted to kill her. What do y'all think about that? Is that really Match.com's problem? Because if you are actually going through all this, don't you think that there is that risk? Shouldn't you understand that there is a risk that you may meet someone like this? And why are you trying to hold the actual site themselves? I'm sure, I'm going to go and check and make sure, but I'm sure there's some kind of disclaimer that they have on their site somewhere that states this. Now, she wants $10 million because she met the wrong guy. After 10 days, man, after 10 days, she decided she didn't want to see this guy anymore. I wonder why. Now, here's another question. How did he know where she lived at? That kind of goes back to what we've been talking about for a long time as far as relationships. Your first date or your first meeting should not be anywhere personal at all. It shouldn't be at your house. It should be at their house. It should be somewhere in public. No, he waited in her garage. Her garage. And stabbed her 10 times. Now, I'm not advocating and saying, he wasn't wrong, because he was wrong. But does she really have a case to hold Match.com responsible? Because she signed up for an account. She met the man on her own as he put her data in the database. So how does that put Match.com on the line for anything? Just some things to make you go, what you think? What you think? I don't know. This one is a little tricky. Yes, she met this guy on Match.com, and yes, he tried to kill her. But shouldn't you really have your guard up when you meet strangers like that? And I'm still trying to figure out, how did he know where her garage was? I know we have some idiots out there and some real sick people out there that will follow you or find out where you're going. But I don't know. 10 days, after 10 days, she didn't want to see him anymore. So I'm trying to figure out what did they do on their first date? What did they do on their first date to meet this man? Now, he may have been just crazy from the get-go, but the point is, that I don't think she can hold Match.com responsible for that. I think that's the choice she made, and it wasn't a good choice for her. I hate to say it, but I don't think she really has a leg to stand on. I see my line a lit up here, so let me get my call in and see what we got to say on the subject. Good afternoon. You're on Let's Talk. What's on your mind?
Yes, how goes it, Mr. Talk? Hey, I think she owes Match.com for abusing their male clients.
Abusing the male client?
Yeah. Oh, this man nuts.
Okay.
He couldn't take it.
He couldn't take it, huh? Okay.
Well, I actually call about the Constitution. But,
okay. We're going to get there. Well, trust me, we're going to get to that one.
All right.
Yeah. But, I just thought that was an interesting, story that I read.
Yeah, well, what happens in a situation like that? That was horrific. That was, you say he stabbed her, she's disabled. Yeah. I heard a portion of what you said.
Yeah, he stabbed her 10 times. 10 times.
Yeah, see, the problem with this is trying to get people, out of the community, getting people from, it's bad enough, you have to go outside your family to find a person, but when you have to go outside your community, outside your state, that's a real problem. I think people are going to, Match.com, I mean, I don't know what I'm sure they have a disclaimer policy. But that doesn't matter. You can still get Jackie. You remember that attorney on Seinfeld? Jackie will still sue you. I don't know I used to laugh my behind off watching him. But at any rate, no, when something like that happens, you know, you try to go after the deep pockets. I'm sure, I think there are too many of these matchmaking situations. And it's because of us, though. We've created this problem because we've grown so distant from each other. We're looking for each other, you know, probably in all the wrong places.
Mm-hmm.
And but when something like that happens, and see, that's the rarity. That's the other thing. I heard a comment that you made. More women die from putting makeup on, you know, in their vehicles and have accidents, or you know, smoke. I mean, this is a real rarity.
Right.
Does happen. It does happen. And we tend to sensationalize it.
Mm-hmm.
And that incident is bad, but we create that, as we do with most of our issues. I think what we're going to have to do is start back. Well, you know, I've already said you need to people from a more sane culture. The ideal would be to meet people in your immediate community.
Church.
Well, there's some feedback.
I don't know what's going on. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with that.
We have to fix that. I think it's fixable. We probably won't, but
mm-hmm.
it is fixable. And I think Match.com, they may have to pay something just because they are a big target. And, you know, but that's pretty much the way I see that.
Okay. All right. Well, I kind of agree with you. We'll see, though. I don't know. They'll probably fight it for a little while because that kind of opened the door for a whole lot of stuff if they go ahead and say, okay, yeah, we're guilty. We're responsible. Okay. Well, y'all, let's see. Let's move on. We're going to go on and get the meat of the show today. Today, the topic of the show is it time to revise the Constitution? Again, I want to thank everybody for joining me today and to join the conversation. Give me a call at 347-838-8622. Email me at letstalk@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at driven4life62. Or just stop by my Facebook page and leave me a message. Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. Also, if you want to join us in the chat room, just go to the www.blogtalkradio.com. Put in Mr. Talk in the search engine, it should come up, or you can just www.blogtalkradio.com/Eric Jackson 62. It'll bring you to the chat room as well. All right, now, since we have covered all the little commercial things we need to do, let's get on and talk about this thing called Constitution thing. All right, now, we all know that the Constitution is something that we cannot just come up and just come about and change. However, how about, why not? What about if we really could? You know, this thing was written, what, in 1776? Was it 1776? Somewhere in there. But it wasn't ratified till what? Oh, dang it, I had the knowledge, had it in my brain, I forgot. But anyway, it was written back when the time where there was slavery and prohibition and all that good stuff. But what about now? Things have changed. The world is more diverse. You know, you have more, you don't have any slaves per se anymore. So why can't we revise it? Why can't we? And what if black folk decided to do their own constitution? How would that turn out? You think we could do that successfully? Just some things to make you go, Now, I know Mr. Solution, he didn't even thought this over already. So I'm going to let him go ahead and start, and we can go from there. Okay, Mr. Solution, the floor is yours.
Well, Eric, that's an interesting subject. It's become one of my favorite. I wish we had the First Amendment superhero on to talk about this. Maybe he'll call in. I don't know. Maybe someone will put the word out. But at any rate, no, the Constitution, I said if I were marooned on an island or something, a copy of the Bible, the Constitution, and a good lexicon would be my favorite reading material. There's not a better constitution in the world. I think if you take some samplings, you know, one will readily see that. There's no other constitution that states the rights or gives the same amount of rights to its citizens. I think Supreme was talking about the UK and how they did not have freedom of speech. I don't recall. I don't know if you recall that conversation, do you?
Yes, I recall it. Yeah, I remember him saying that.
Yeah, and you could just multiply that. I'm not saying there are not other livable places. Obviously, there are. But when it comes down to your specific rights, and a better document to read to get an idea of what the Constitution really is to read the Declaration of Independence. Because, you know, in a world, and the Constitution was unique in its time. And it's not just that it's an old document. Just because something is old has, you know, certainly doesn't undermine its validity. If you think about it, I know old cars that cost more than new cars will ever cost. And I'm pretty sure the same thing is true with some homes and other artifacts of great value. But just mm-hmm. because it's old, it's how it was formed that's more important than the chronology or how long ago it was produced. And it was wrought out of, you know, the fiery furnace, as it were. And the people who wrote that Constitution, because their right, liberty, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, as they stated, because that was in jeopardy, they wrote a Constitution that would guard those rights. And you could not get a comparable document produced today, you know, for a number of reasons. But I think it's an excellent. They used to teach us in civics class about its, you know, the elastic clause of the Constitution. It can be mended, but it doesn't. You know, something that governs some. We're still getting feedback, Eric. I don't know.
I hear it on your end. I hear it on my end.
Okay, maybe someone needs to mute. But at any rate, no, that is a most. It's a most excellent document. And with the three branches of government set up as they are to provide checks and balances, with the specificity of the individual rights being spelled out in the Bill of Rights, and the ease of litigation, you know, there's just nothing comparable to it. It's an excellent document, excellent. I don't know, and I'll just ask, have you ever read it or read most of it or read it through?
Actually, yes, I've been reading it through off and on, so yes, I agree with you. It's an amazing document.
It's absolutely fascinating. I mean, the word power and the fact, you know, where it talks about the inalienable rights. And remember, the rights that the Constitution is referring to, specifically the Bill of Rights and the rights that the Constitution guarantees, they are inalienable rights. Those are rights that are only to be recognized by the government and protected by the government. They're not given by the government. Life, mm-hmm. liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I don't think there are many other constitutions in the world that are similarly drafted.
Yeah, I can believe that one. I can go for that. I can actually go for that. But in the same instance, you know, being that we are in 2013, you know, I guess we want to say some of the beliefs are kind of old-fashioned. Should we kind of be able to update it a little bit, or does that take too much work? Would that take too much work?
Well, human nature, well, like I say, two-thirds, the Constitution can be changed or amended with two-thirds states, you know, ratifying it.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been amended. The thing is that you know, human nature doesn't change. I mean, you are talking about the years changing.
Mm-hmm.
But if one is an observer of human nature, it doesn't change. Tell me how human nature has changed.
Yeah, that's a good point. Human nature has.
Or particularly, tell me how the nature of humans who are in power are prone to abuse that power.
Yeah, that was my next point I was going to make.
Go ahead.
No, I was about to say, has our society today become even, I won't say more corrupt than what it was back then. And I don't know if corrupt is the right word to use. Greedy or astute. I don't know. Is there too many hands need to be greased now to make any type of legitimate, worthwhile amendments to the Constitution?
Wait a minute, too many, in other words, wait a minute, say that
okay.
again, I'm
okay.
not quite getting that.
Okay, in other words, what I'm trying to say is, has the society today, as far as the politicians, are there too many hands that have out that need to be greased, you know, in the back doors or kickbacks to really do something worthwhile to amend the Constitution to bring it a little bit more update to represent what we the diversity that we do have in the country today?
Well, okay, I think the thing is that the jobs that politicians have, those jobs were meant to be part-time jobs.
Mm-hmm.
That has evolved over the years, say within the last, maybe it's easy to do a check on it, but it was like public service. That's what it was meant to be. A politician was never supposed to be a permanent job. And they were supposed to go to Washington, take care of, quote-unquote, the people's business, and then return home. So they had to actually live under the laws that they actually enacted. So if you read the Constitution, if one reads the Constitution, and I recommend taking a course on the Constitution, because, again, it's a phenomenal document. So what has happened is the people have allowed the ruling class to live outside of the Constitution. That's a problem within itself. So you're not talking about things necessarily that are the fault of the Constitution. You're talking about that are the fault of the freedom.
Okay, I didn't hear that last piece, that last bit.
Well, I said you're not talking about issues that are the fault of the Constitution per se. You're talking about, problems that are the fault of the governed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's where the problem lies. The Constitution itself, see, those guys had a gun to their heads, as it were, virtually, literally. And so they had to produce something that would change the situation, the life situation. They were being abused. They were being taxed. So, again, the way one really understands the Constitution is to read the context in which it was written.
Mm-hmm.
They were being overly taxed by England. They were being, carted off, taken to jail, and just destroyed. And they had to, because they list all the usurpations, all the violations of their human rights, personal and human rights, that were issued forth by a dictator. Because a king is an autocrat, king, queen, that sort of system. And they didn't want that system. So they wanted a system that could be governed by the people that was that would be very stable and that could be changed when necessary, but that had checks and balances. So the president can be overridden by Congress. Congress can be over, even though Congress is the most powerful body, and they are closest to the people. That's why your representatives are elected every 2 years. Your senators are elected every, senators are 6 years, and president is every 4 years. So you get a changing of the guard, as it were. And that's where the people have the greatest participation. And also you can impeach a president, Impeaching a president is just to call a president to account for high crimes, I believe it's called. And then, of course, if the president is convicted, then, of course, he can be expelled from office. And then you have the judiciary, which is phenomenal. The judiciary cannot solicit, it cannot initiate laws. It's not designed to do that. But what the judiciary can do when a violation is brought to it, then it has the power to step in and rectify it, whether it's a legislative law, an executive law. So it's a very, very balanced system. At least I'm impressed with it. And I'm not impressed very often.
Okay. You know, and the way it is written, though, yeah, I agree with it. It is set up to be a very impressive system, but I was just wondering, is it time for us to make a little changes? Now, an interesting book that I found that I've been reading was The Charters of Freedom, Founding Documents of American Democracy. And in this book, they have, the articles, the amendments. They even have, the Gettysburg Address, the Emancipation Proclamation, all that kind of stuff in this book. So it's a nice book to have. It's very educational, actually. So that what made me really think about, is it time to revise the Constitution? Or I know we really can't revise it or amend it, as we would say. But what about, let's twist it just a little bit. What about just the black community? What if we get our own Constitution? You think we'd be able to do that? Just get our own Constitution?
Well, I don't know if you want to hear my ideas on that.
Well, go ahead. I asked.
Yeah, you did. But
okay. We got plenty of time.
Be careful for what one asks for. Look, as far as the black community goes, or any community, the black community, even though the black community has unique issues that it suffered in its past, those can be addressed and rectified. I'm not saying they would ever be erased, because if you look at the Jewish nation, now that happened to them in Europe, and they make everybody aware of it. The thing is in America, for people that, came from nothing, you look at the president right now, although I don't think he came really from nothing, but certainly he came from lower class. That would never occur in a caste system,
mm-hmm.
or a system where you have, I'm just using caste in its absolute sense. Because in the king and queen, where you have kings and queens, that's a type of caste system. And so, but that was changed because the people can elect whomever they choose, not just someone of quote-unquote royal blood. But what I think would be more helpful is to talk about specifically, be a little bit more specific in terms of what you want. Even when you talk about revising the Constitution, although I don't believe that will happen, and it's not even necessary, because working within the framework of the Constitution, one can get pretty much all that's coming to them. And what the Constitution promises, by the way, is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Okay, so within that context, maybe one would recite what it is that they want. And part of reciting what you want sort of helps you determine which direction you need to go in order to procure it. Just like if I say I want to attend college, well, I need to start reviewing the available colleges and applying to them and interacting with them to, get feedback and see which one best suits my needs. And problem solving, which is really what I comprehend you as talking about, is being able to state the problem and then look at various means and methods of addressing the problem. But it takes a bit of, you know, understanding and perseverance to get what you're saying. But again, the Constitution guarantees life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those are part of the inalienable, though, that are guaranteed by the Constitution, if that makes sense to you.
Yes, it does. Well, okay. Well, there are some individuals out there that say they still haven't got their 40 acres and a mule. That's long talking about pursuit of happiness. you understand what I'm saying? So how? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's quite all right. No, that was the means, M-E-A-N-S. That was those were the means to the pursuit of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Because those were, you know, having land, because it was this country started off as an agrarian society, agricultural society. And those were the primary means by which one could acquire wealth through their labor, hence the 40 acres and a mule. You would plant seed and, of course, grow your crop, sell the excess that you didn't use for your own family, and thereby store money where you could pursue, you know, your life interest, or at least live a fulfilled life.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, there's still some individuals out there that say today they still haven't gotten that. And they're not happy at all about it.
Well, so, what they could do, there's a way to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the Constitution does allow to redress for grievances. And that would be considered reparations, which every government, not that just the U.S. government, but every government is set up to pay reparations for injustices, violation of human rights, and so on and so forth. So every government, virtually every government, is set up to do that. Now, it's not easy, as it probably shouldn't be easy, just like nothing is. But I think a lot of people, you know, one can ask for the world, or one can often ask for much more than they can produce or deserve. And I'm just speaking generally now. But people who ask for certain things, the question is, what the hell are you going to do to merit that?
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about that all the time. And realize the essences don't change. The essences, principles, and the definition of principles are, you know, standards that can be applied over time and in a broad range. So the principles are the same pretty much regardless as to what one's pursuits are, you see. So one saying, well, I want 40 acres and a mule. Okay, how do you plan to go about that? You've been denied a certain what you call compensation, reparation. Okay, how are you going to go about petitioning the government for that? In this case, that would be you're talking about the government. We're talking about governmental structure right now.
Right.
Yeah, so one would have to there are ways to go about that. But you just can't sit on your ass and say, you know, give it to me. That's not going to happen.
Well, I mean that's what a lot of individuals are doing now. You know?
Yeah, but how's that working for them?
Apparently it's not. They still around here talking they want their 40 acres of the mule. So no, it's not working for them at all. It's just a question that I think a lot of people have. But, you know, you just brought up a great point. You know, if they're not willing to put in the work, then there's no need to try and revise or change anything because you're not really doing work. And I guess that's why I brought up, what about if the black community were to work on their own little constitution? How would that work? But I remember Ted Smiley tried to do something that was similar. I think it was a covenant, and he just gave up because it just wasn't working out the way he had hoped. You remember that?
No, I don't. But I think that concept, though, I can deal with that concept somewhat. It mm-hmm. seems kind of redundant. I mean, what are you going to produce that's different from what you already have? I mean, whatever one develops, they're going to have to work with it.
Right.
I just don't, I don't see the relevance of that. I don't see what difference that would make. I mean, I don't. I'm willing to be open to hear what difference it might make, but at this juncture, I don't see it.
Well, I mean, we can always do like the Native Americans, just go, you know, even though the government put them on their own land, told them this is where you're going to stay. But, you know, just find us a little part of the country and just create our own little world, nation within it. You know, with our own constitution, see how that work out.
Actually, I don't know how much you know about the Native Americans, but that's very interesting. They have what you call nation-state status.
Mm-hmm.
Our reservations are nations,
mm-hmm.
and they have sovereignty
right.
vis-a-vis their nations. And I've before. Native Americans, and rightly so, have the best form of reparations. Native Americans, under the Department of Interior, they have the Bureau of Indian Affairs. So they have actually a governmental department that's designated and works on their behalf. Are you aware of that, or were you aware of that?
Yes, actually I was, yeah. Because
okay.
I used to serve with a couple Native Americans in the military. Yeah, so they used to let me know those type of things. But yeah.
Well, I mean, but do you understand the implication? That will ensure them. They have nation-state status. Their land, some their land, like they have exclusive fishing rights.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to pay taxes. they
right.
have their own governmental bodies on their reservations. And with this gaming that has come about, I know it differs from tribe to tribe, but a lot of tribes have become very wealthy. They even have casinos that are open to the public.
Hmm.
So they do have revenue streams
mm-hmm.
available to them.
So has the black community been so divided now to where if we wanted to do something like that, would we be able to? Probably not, huh?
Well, I think from what I know of the black community in America, there's just so much mistrust and abuse and fear and separation from each other. Like you take, for example, you did a show on the black elite.
Mm-hmm.
See? There are blacks, usually, that go back as far as the Revolutionary War. There are blacks that do very well in America. I mean, very well. They're living the American dream. Asking for any. I mean, if you ask them about their 40 acres and a mule, they would say, hey, what are you talking about?
Say, we got ours and then some.
Yeah, I mean, they.
Right.
Not an issue. So you would have, whatever people have an issue, they have to collectively assemble and, you know, work it out. I mean, I see people that come to America can't even speak the language. And when you can't speak the language, that's always a deficit. I mean, that's like being put in a place and having no memory. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a scary thought is what it is. But they're mm-hmm. able to cooperate with each other, collaborate, and produce what they need. They have very thriving communities. I visit those communities quite often. And if they can do it, not even speaking the language, I mean, wow, what can you say?
You know what? No matter who I talk to about things of that nature, and that's the first thing they bring up. They say, well, look at the Koreans. The Koreans come in, they don't know nobody, but look how they got shops everywhere. Then be like, well, look at the Indians. They come in, they don't know, but look, they own everything. Yeah, because they work together. You know, that's the difference. They work together. And beyond the top 10% of the black community, I don't know if working together is even in the vocabulary anymore. You know, it's more of pulling each other back
down.
Work,
I don't know. No, they actually, no, anybody, look, I was reading an article recently, and, you know, they often talk about money. What I noticed with black Americans different from, and this is not true of all blacks, you're just talking about black Americans, and it's not true of all black Americans, but, you know, one's wealth is going to be directly related to the wealth produced in their community, because other people aren't going to allow you to get their wealth, because they're going to lock you out. Just like if I could just come to your house, not that I would do this, but if you had a well-stocked refrigerator and, well, let's just start with the food. And any time I wanted to, I could just come into your house and just select whatever I wanted. That would be great for me, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah, that would be great for you.
I could just come in, hi, Eric, you know, take a ham, take a big, hopefully I would ask you to get Alaskan salmon food and all of that, you know. But my point is that people put borders around what's theirs. They're, you know, you've heard of intellectual property. People can put you may not be able to see them, you know, right off, but everybody protects. Whatever you build, you have to protect it. So whatever you develop, you have to defend it. So people who are the least wealthy are always going to have the least wealth in their community, because that's where the wealth is produced. Shut other people out of their community in one way or another. They're not going to allow you to have access to their wealth. And that just makes sense. At a certain point, you see that little pig trail I have made to your refrigerator. Pretty soon, you're going to say, hey, this is my refrigerator. Where is my whatever, you know? And so that's the way people operate. It's a very basic principle. It's not complicated. People have operated the same way for millennia. It's not that complicated. So,
okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, well, black Americans have the least wealth in their community. I think many authors have pointed out wealth only circulates, well, sometimes it circulates not even one time. That means you don't spend anything in your community, and you have to go outside your community to get your needs satisfied. So, I mean, until people are willing to look at what they need to do, things won't change. They can't change. Things can't change. Go ahead.
Oh, no, man. You've answered the question already that I was about to ask you. I was going to ask, so what is the problem in the black community where we can't put up our defenses and defend our own stuff and keep outside of
the community? See it just as the black community, Eric. I'm sorry. I see it as any community. The same, look, you don't talk about, no one talks about in America black ABCs, white ABCs, white 1-2-3s. No, we have the same system. You see?
Okay, yes.
We have the same number of hours in a day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have the same brains, same senses. It's just how those are utilized.
Wow. That's okay. That makes sense.
Oftentimes, trying to see something so vastly different is confusing in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because trying to, a lot of times, you know, it's just like, even when we talk about the male-female thing, telling men and women they're different, and if they're seeking those differences, even if the differences don't exist, they're still missing each other because they're chasing a phantom. They're chasing a non-reality, and they're creating a corrupted reality. So the thing is to learn how to operate the existing system.
And there lies the rub.
Yeah, not developing a new system, because why reinvent the wheel? It's already round.
Okay.
It already bounces. I mean, the thing now to do is just to, get a supply of them. I'm just trying to, find analogies here. Hopefully you see the sense. But you don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's already been done.
Yeah, okay.
In fact, trying to reinvent the wheel is a big waste of time. You got to go back with a square, although I don't think mankind started out, the way it's often depicted. But nevertheless, you would have to start out with a square wheel and feel and realize that doesn't work, and, to true it until you get a round wheel. Now, where are you? You've spent all that time redeveloping the wheel, and you have the same wheel that we've had all along.
All along. Okay.
Yeah, it's to learn to use the tools at your disposal.
Okay. All right. Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay. Let me see. I see we got Lo on the line, so let's see what Lo got to add to the conversation. Good afternoon, Mr. Lo. How you doing today?
I'm good. What's going on, gentlemen? How are you guys doing?
Yes, fine.
Wonderful.
Great.
What's on your mind, brother?
Glad to hear it. Oh, man, I'm sitting here listening to your boy over there just ramble on and on and on about the wheel. Well, black people did try to create their own wealth before, and they were successful, but what happened? And I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't, then shame on you. Eric, this is specifically for Mr. Solutions.
Oh, okay. I was trying to wonder.
This is for Mr. Solutions. Black people did try to create their own wealth and have their own Black Wall Street.
Okay.
But what happened? They lived in their own communities. They wanted to be self-sufficient. And what happened?
Well, what the gentleman is saying, I think you have to go ahead and carry your question to its logical conclusion. You get knocked down, what do? You stay down or you get up. I get up. It doesn't matter whether I tripped, someone pushed me, whatever. You get up. And so what do you want? One of the problems with any people, and I like to, because I deal with, the diversity that you talk about, is their attitude. Okay, how they say it, your attitude sets your altitude.
Well,
you ever heard that?
I have.
Okay,
I'll agree to that. But you do know as well as I do, in some circumstances, your skin can be a blessing, and in other instances, it can be a curse. And what I mean by that is, I know that you've heard of, maybe not yourself, it didn't happen to you, but people that were older than you, or maybe somebody that you knew, you go in, you try to get a loan, and you're eligible for it, and you know that your credit is good enough, but you might get it, and you get it at a high interest rate. Now, this bastard that you know has let a car or two go back and file bankruptcy, and I'll go ahead and say white guy, he goes in and winds up getting whatever he wants. Now, these things still happen today, I'm sure. You know, I mean, if you're black and you don't have, quote unquote, good credit, they're going to nail you to the cross whenever they do decide to go ahead and throw you a crumb or two. I just don't see the same thing happening for some Caucasians, though. You know, I know where I work. Hey, I won't lie. I have a good career. But I do see people that have, how do I put this, that don't have, that's not as blessed as I am as far as a career is concerned, that winds up with a lot of quote-unquote stuff because in all, you know, all actuality, what we wind up talking about is stuff anyway when you boil it all the way down, the stuff you can buy, the stuff you want, and the stuff you can't have. So, I mean, I seen this thing myself even as an adult, you know, and you know, I agree with you on the getting up part. But, you know, if you went out there and you've done what you were supposed to do and you are looking for the spoils and enjoying the spoils of your labor, be it out there in the field working from sun up to sundown or burning the midnight oil in some books, and now it's time for you to enjoy this, you're not looking for anyone to take this from you. But that's what happens with that Black Wall Street situation. And I do recall reading an excerpt from MLK. And MLK said in his excerpt that the rent that they were paying, I can't remember specifically how much it was, but it was more for a smaller space to live in with their family when he was growing up than a white family was paying for a larger place to live in the same building. So it's always been a strike somewhere against us. You know, we don't have to try to sugarcoat and hide things in this show. We can just call it what it is. It's always been some type of strike against us. You know, I have even been asked personally, man, how can you afford that? And excuse me for saying, but motherfucker, I work. That was my answer. And, you know, I don't understand why people would assume that. I mean, you know, we're ultimately supposed to have nothing. I mean, I guess it's, cause, you know, what the television shows promote and the movies promote. You know, we all smoke crack and we all do drugs and we all sell drugs. And that's all we're supposed to look forward to in life, I guess. So, I mean, what is your take on all of that?
Hello? Mr. Solution, you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. Eric?
Yes.
Now, you heard this gentleman. Now, he accused me when he first came on. He said I was rambling.
Man, now, get the hell past all of that. That's the way I was speaking. Damn, why you? Oh, God, no wonder you're lonely. Come on, man.
Okay. what do you hear from what this gentleman is saying? He said that he's blessed because he worked for it. So why doesn't that formula work for anyone else? I don't understand his complaint. Do you, Eric? Do you understand what complaint he's raising?
Well, I'll give you my complaint. I don't need Eric to try to figure it out. My complaint is
Hold on. Based on, you've talked long enough. I'm just asking Eric, if you don't mind, based on what this gentleman has said, Eric, did you discover a complaint, a resolvable complaint that he raised? And if so, what is it?
No. I got to know. I didn't.
Okay. There you go. My complaint is this. Thank you for giving your response, Eric, in an honest manner. My complaint is this. When I speak about things that go on in the community, I'm not Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson. As long as my family has and we're okay and we're great, everything's wonderful. I'm not those people. I look at the black community as a whole. Just like that I didn't watch that bullshit Super Bowl, but the halftime horse show. I heard about it. I'm like, man, are you serious? I mean, that's as far as we, and Eric, you wanted to say this. I listened to the show last night and this morning.
Mm-hmm.
That's as far as we progress is she got to come up there looking like a half-white whore with all this weave everywhere and everything else that goes along with it, you know, and throwing up these bullshit-ass hand signs and all of this. That's as far as we've progressed in society. That's our realm of success. And as I was telling my cousin earlier, if you want to say, well, Madonna did it or Cher did it, okay, so we've already had the whore image. We don't need that anymore. We already played that one. That's played out. There was nothing else that lady could have done for a halftime show other than come out and look like a half-dressed hoe. You know, that's my problem. We are perceived as the only way we can make it is hoochies and you sell drugs or this or that. And that's my problem with a lot of things. You have a lot more to us than just those types of people. We are diverse people. Some of us need to be pushed a little harder than others, but hey, that's just a part of life. When I speak, like I said, I'm not always just speaking for my own personal situation.
Okay. All right, Mr. Solution, I understand what you're saying there.
Well, yeah. What's the issue?
Again, I thought you were smart. You said that, pretty much it from the way I got it, and I was walking about my house when I was listening in. Why can't we, the black community, be self-sustaining? And I said, we tried that already, and we were successful with it.
Well, first of all, go ahead. Well, first of all, I think I pointed this out in one show. I asked a gentleman to define what the black community was. And if you're just going by skin coloration or skin hue alone, I don't think that's going to make the cut. Because now you take Michael Jordan, for example. His skin is dark. But he's a very handsome man, by the way. But at the same time, do you think that Michael Jordan identifies with what you are trying to describe?
Oh, of course not.
Okay, what you have here is you have a problem of identity. See, who is your audience? You have to ask yourself, who is what I'm trying to define? And I think once you do that, then, of course, maybe you'll be able to gain some traction. Because you throw this term out there, black community. I mean, what community? Where?
Okay, well, I'll be more specific. I don't live in a predominantly black neighborhood, but I can reference back to the neighborhood where I'm from, and I'm sure your country ass can too. But
wait a minute. And now I don't want to get pissed off at you, and you're being an ass. Wait, hold on. You're being a jerk. But the thing of it is this: you don't know how to talk to people. First of all, you come across as quite unintelligent, and
well,
you don't know how
that's
to say what you want to say.
Actually, I do.
Eric is the host.
Out of my mouth the way you want him to be. That's all that is.
Wait a minute. Eric is the host, and Eric said he didn't understand your complaint. Neither do I.
And then he came back and said, oh, yeah, I see what you're saying, man. So, you know, you can be politically correct when I say the black community if you like. I'm not including Michael Jordan and Oprah when I say the black community. I'm talking about the average, everyday working black person or a person of color, more specific. See, when you go into, and you love the law so much, when you go into the laws, there's a law in the books to stop and frisk. If white guys got stopped and frisked on the average as much as black guys would, they would do something about it. But since
you consider
happen,
me black, do you consider me black?
Do I consider you black?
I've never been stopped and frisked. I mean, I have a good relationship with the police. I mean, I understand their history. I mean, I understand the history of this country. I don't have the problems you're talking about. I don't have.
I'm sure you don't.
I'm trying to relate to what you're saying. I'm listening to you.
Well, if you can't relate to it, then, hey, that's your ignorance of it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We'll just talk about something else.
Wait, no. It could be your – it's not my ignorance of anything.
Actually, it is. You said you can't relate to it. So
I cannot relate to what
so
you're
there
saying.
It is.
That's right. Because
there it is. Don't worry about it.
You know,
worry about
I'm
it.
Not
well,
worried.
You know,
would you allow me to tell you very crude and rude. What I'm saying is I listen to complaints all the time. And what I
me
have
too.
To do is understand how a complaint is framed so I can look for a solution. I help
mm-hmm.
people resolve their problems. And I don't see, first of all, you haven't identified a resolvable problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you accused me of just rambling, and that's exactly what you are doing.
Well, man, you love to hear yourself talk, man. And like I said, if you're that emotional and all of a sudden, oh, you're rude. And I sit here all the time and listen to you call men bitches and this and that. That's disrespectful than a motherfucker. I'm going to tell you, if you was in my face and you called me
a
bitch.
If they act a bitch, then what's wrong with calling
I don't
them
care.
A bitch?
I don't care. Like, hey, over this phone and this typewriter, computer, all that shit, you can be tough if you want to be. But ain't nobody going to call me no bitch to my face.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Do you have a criminal record?
Of course I don't. I have a top secret security clearance, you asshole. Of course I don't.
Okay, well, you don't sound like you have any professional credentials.
It doesn't matter how I sound, man. Hey, when I need to put it on, I can put it on. When I cut it off, I can cut it off. Right here.
Oh, so you're faking now is what you're saying. You're faking,
if you
right
want to call it that. Of course not.
You're
code switching
now. I think
is.
I've heard of that. I've never seen
it
done well, but I have heard people claim that they can code switch. But the point is Eric, are you there?
I'm here.
I think what has to be done, and this is true of any complaint, complaints generally follow a generic format or framework, and that is what are the grievances. What has happened to the aggrieved? You know, what injuries have been suffered? I mean, one can go into court and can tell a judge a whole lot of things, but if they can't link that to a material loss, quantifiable loss that the court can handle, nothing can be done for them.
Okay, well, I'll give you one then. I can
wait a minute.
Hold on.
No,
I have a grievance.
Hold on a minute.
Hold
on.
Let him finish first.
Just one second. Yeah, thank you. Now, some people may need therapy to just get in touch with their emotions, and I'm all about that. I mean, I recommended this last evening to someone, and that's a good thing, too, where people can actually – you know, just spill their guts, as it were, and talk about what's on their heart. That's a different venue. That's a different context. When I'm listening to someone, I'm trained to hear a problem and then look for a viable solution. That's the way I'm trained to address issues. But go ahead. What is
I want to welcome Vernon to the show. Okay. Vernon, you there?
Yeah. I was trying to figure out what the topic was. I mean, what are we on today? what are we dealing with?
Well, we was talking about the Constitution, revised the Constitution, but we done worked our way back to the community now.
Okay.
Well, I want to tie one into the Constitution then, you know, since we got the constitutional guy on there. Okay. I'll use my own personal grievance, as I said before. You know, I've done everything I was supposed to the right way, and I just happened to be a young black man with a decent car. I have a nice home, but I have a nice car, too. And for some odd reason, I was stopped by the police, and there was no problems at all. But I was somewhere where nobody knew me. I was stopped by the police. They wanted to see my license and my registration. And I asked why was I stopped, and the policeman said, it appeared that you swerved. And I knew it was a lie. And after that, all of a sudden, hey, I was probably 23 at the time. Hey, do you mind if I check your car for anything? I'm like, anything like what? Well, you know, you have a nice car. You know, do you have any drugs or anything? I said, no, I don't have drugs. I said, I have parents that work. What about it? And so, you know, then he wants to check the car. And I said, you know what? I'd rather have a dog to come and crawl around in my car. And so they called the dog in, and the dog crawled around in my car and didn't find a thing. So I have a grievance off top. I don't have a good relationship with the police, and I don't trust the police. I'm not supposed to, because they're not here to protect and to serve me. They're here to protect and to serve the few that run them. So you tell me what my constitutional obligation is. What does the Constitution offer me in that situation?
I guess, is that for me, or one of you gentlemen want
who else,
to...
Who else on here said, oh, I love talking about the Constitution? Who else? Yes,
well, I do in a constitutional context. I mean, you know, you look at your attitude. When an officer of the city or state, when they stop you, you should be courteous to them just because of their position. And he asked you if he could search the car, and you said yes. You said you would prefer to have the dog search the car. So, I mean, I'm not saying all police are great people. I think many of them are. Police fall along the normal distribution curve of human beings just like anyone else. But if there are particular rights one has, you know, if the police violate them or speak to them in a way they should not, if you feel offended, there are steps a person can make. But I would assume that you know that. Now, you said when you were 20, I think many of us that are here.
23.
Okay, 23. Many of us are over. Well, what do you want? Let me start with one of the most fundamental things. What do you want?
I was asking a guy that loves to speak on the Constitution. I was wanting an explanation of how does the Constitution work in my favor when things like that happen. That's what I want, the information.
What do you want to work in your favor? What is it? What outcome are you seeking?
I want the information for myself, of the just to have it for myself. Just
okay.
So I know.
Do you
like
guys
I'm
understand
30,
this? Do you?
I'm 37. I'm 37 years old. This was like when I was 23. And that has always stuck out in my mind because, like I said, I was minding my own business. I was not doing anything wrong, and I felt offended by it. And, no, I never forgot it. Maybe like, you know, I don't know, first time maybe you got in a fight and got your nose broke or your glasses broke or something, and you never forgot about that. Exact same scenario. That's all I'm saying. So what could have happened in that scenario? As far as the Constitution protecting me.
Okay, protecting you from what?
from a policeman stopping me for no reason whatsoever, just to, making up an excuse just to check my car.
Well, okay, now if a policeman stops a citizen, a motorist, they are, you know, they should give a reason, and usually they do. And what reason did he give for stopping you?
Oh, it appeared, and I'm quoting, I never forgot, it appeared that I swerved just a little bit.
Okay. Well, probably what you should have done was consult an attorney and gotten some clarification, or you could have gone down to the police station if you felt that your rights were really violated. It just sounds like the police was just keeping watch over the community, and he stopped you, and nothing happened after that, right? He searched your vehicle, and that was, you gave him permission to search your vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at a loss to see exactly, you know, what redress do you want? What do you want? A policeman surveying, we want policemen to look for things and to prevent crime. That's what we want them to do that. And, you know, so it doesn't seem to me, you have to tell me or explain to somebody what it is that you want. Given
again, for the 40th time, like I said, all I wanted was some clarity on, as far as the Constitution is concerned, did he ultimately have a right to just, you know, I mean, out of nowhere, you asked me for my license and my registration, asked me to step outside of the car after I give you all of this stuff, and, oh, stand right there. And, after you get all of this, you run my name and all of this stuff. You got all of this information. It wasn't good enough. Do you mind if I check your car for drugs or anything? Do you have any drugs or weapons or anything? You know, that.
Yeah, well, based on a certain level of suspicion, okay, when you're right, when anybody is traversing the thoroughfares, based on a certain level of suspicion, a police officer does have the right, as a police officer, again, if they have a certain level of suspicion, to pull a motorist over and determine what's going on. I mean, I haven't heard the policeman's side of it. I'm just hearing your side.
That's fine. That's fine. We weren't asking what the policeman thought about it anyway.
Well, you always have
to. I can.
Wait, hold
you
on. Okay. You can't have a one-sided scenario such as the police could come up with a perfectly logical reason for pulling you or however many other motorists he pulled over that day. I'm not going to second-guess the police officer just based on your allegation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what's going to happen then. One day when you get out of your little nutshell that you...
Wait a minute. Hold on. Before you go into your prognostication mode, do the rest of you guys, you heard...
One day...
Someone needs to be...
Summertime.
Hold on a minute, sir. Just hold on a minute. We've taken time to respond to you. Based on what you other gentlemen have heard, what do you think be the response to this gentleman?
Well, my response to this gentleman, well, first of all, how you doing there, Nolo? How you doing there,
what's
gentlemen?
Up, how you doing? How you doing?
All right. Well, first of all, let's rewind for a minute. What about this changing cold low? I don't act the same way I do at work. I quite sure you don't, Low. We all have different facets of me. See, I'm a son.
Uh-huh.
I'm a father. I'm a parent. I'm a boyfriend. So I have different facets of me. I'm not going to act the same way. Don't feel bad when someone says that you're switching codes or
But
I have to crush these silliness. I'm sorry, I have to do this. But Lo is talking about the Patriot Act, certain things that is non-constitutional that people have tried to take his rights away from us. That's what he's talking about. Now, when a police stop you, he must have probable cause. Now, if no one calls 911 describing you committing a crime, and the police or the authority do not see you commit a crime, right? They should not touch you or stop you or question you because they're taking your constitutional rights from them. Now, Lo, you should not have asked them to search your car at all. You don't give them permission. You telling them no and letting you know that you know your rights. You don't say, yeah, I don't care if you don't have nothing. Just still tell them no anyway. Let them get a reward. You see what I'm saying? But there's certain things about this Constitution that they're altering. Right now, the FBIs want to be able to bug people's phones without a warrant. That's a fact. So we can
they
talk
can
about this
now.
Constitutional. Exactly. So that's constitutional right. But see, the Constitution is a living will. It always, someone said, that we can we change? That's not the question. It's living. We always can change. The people are the power. All power is given by the people. That's a fact. Therefore, all power is given.
I would agree that, that the devil's police you know, that we do not know how to speak to the devil's police. The end of the day, the devil wants to speak to us up, no matter what you do.
Okay, you're breaking up. You're breaking up, for Supreme. You're breaking up.
There's feedback from that.
Michael, do something, Mike. No,
oh, no, that's not.
Yeah, what, no.
That's not me, brother.
Okay. That is you in that feet.
My line.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, can you hear me? Oh,
yeah.
No, I'm out the kitchen. I'm out the kitchen.
Yo, saying, yeah. Although, right, I agree that black folk do not know how to speak to the police. But at the same time, people's going to want to stop. They're going to stop you no matter what. They can make up lies. Somewhere I live in London, I know our police are the same as your police, right? They just make up stories that, oh, someone's up the street or something like that just so they can get to speak. You see what I'm saying? That's what they do. They search blacks. Anytime they see a black man in a nice car, they're stopping his up. Bottom line. There's nothing you can do. Once police target you, that's it. Those police aren't leaving without searching and loading our car. There ain't nothing we can do as black people as we separate from the devil. Bottom line, us voting and trying to do something within the system, that cannot work. That's like Dr. Francis Crick said, the only way all of this shit can stop is to get out her. Maybe that means leaving. Or you can just separate within, like Amish do. You know what I'm saying? You fucking America.
Well, I'll say it like this. You know, I only asked the question because it happened to me, and even more so, I was 23 years old, and you know, until you actually come into contact with something like this on your own, you'll never understand it. I mean, you'll come up with every excuse in the world as far as a reason why it could have happened, why it might have happened, whatever the case may be. But like I said, until it actually happens to you, you minding your own business and you get stopped over some dumb shit, oh, where you going? Where you coming from? Oh, with this and that and all this other stuff. I just wonder, you know, whose constitution is it and who is it for? Oh, it sounds good to say that it's everybody.
It's not for that, man.
But the thing about that, though, Supreme, I mean, you know, there's a concept, and just as Mr. Solutions was saying, some black people, once they quote-unquote feel that they have arrived, yeah, they consider themselves to be black, but they're the other black people, you know. They're the ones that, yeah. And
Uncle Tom.
okay. but anyway, yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, if you're going to stand up on something, you know, ensure that you know all the ins and outs. I won't sit here and play like I know all the ins and outs of the Constitution. And you hear all these people talking about their right to bear arms and their right to do this. And those people are changing these laws whether you want them to or not. And it's happening. and, oh, you're trampling all over the Constitution. No, the people in the government don't give a damn about that because they're making the law. You keep voting the same people back in, you keep the same system, you're going to keep getting the same outcome.
But listen, for voting can't do nothing. We have to get out to separate. You guys separate. They know us. This is made for us. This is a European model. You lot are dealing with a European model of system. You understand? Same thing that we're dealing with out here in real belly, the beast, the UK, who are your country's fathers. They tell your country to piss. You lot piss. If they tell you lot to hold your shit, you have to hold back your shit. You see what I'm saying? And that,
yeah.
That weren't built by for the good of the black man or the man it being on this planet. You see what I'm saying? The same way you are getting stopped in the United States, same way the black man gets treated in the UK, same way they get treated in France, the same way they get treated in foreign land. I've gone to foreign countries, I'm getting stopped by police, right? And they've been seeing niggas before. Ain't no niggas in Sinity, but I'm still getting stopped.
I'm telling him by the word.
What's the topic today? How white is treated again. Black down again?
You can be funny all you want.
No, I'm just asking. I was on another show the other night, and the show was about how whitey's keeping blacks down.
Well, you're racist, and there ain't no getting away from that.
All right, let's say there is racism. Is racism so prevalent?
No, it's not. Say there is.
All right, racism exists. Does it exist to the point where the average black person cannot get a job or cannot found a business to the extent that it is significant?
Well, before y'all get into that great conversation, Joe, the topic was Constitution, is it time for it to be revised, okay?
Oh, the Constitution to be revised?
Yeah.
Okay, and then it somehow dovetailed into black people and white people again. Okay.
Black folks shouldn't even care about the Constitution. Because at the end of the day, the only way to get society as a planeted being is you got absolute sin. That's the only way. You want the house nigga, then you're too far. You can't be yourself. Yeah?
Is the white person keeping your phone down?
Yeah.
It is. That's why when you talk, that you keep going in and out because somehow Whitey is sabotaging your phone.
Well, I'll say it like this: the white person that has nothing, or I mean that has no job to give me, no loan to give me, or anything like that. I don't consider them to be racist because there's no way they can hold me back unless they're in some type of community club or organization, and I want to join, and they won't allow me to join. That'll be the only way. Other than that, I could care less about that part. We're talking about the people that quote-unquote matters, you know. And as far as the Constitution, you know, Mr. Solutions was saying about how much he enjoys talking about it, and it was founded for this and all of that. And I just asked a question as far as the Constitution is concerned, and where did it – Where do I fit into it because of a situation that happened to me like 14 years ago?
Okay.
This is where I want to go again. Because you're saying that, you're saying you don't care about the quote-unquote average devil. So, all right, this is the thing. These average devils, they are cheap things just as students. They don't go into they're not complaining at all.
I'm really trying to understand what you're saying because you're breaking up bad.
Yeah,
bro.
You're really
bad.
Your phone
he's
is breaking up, Supreme.
Yeah, he's really breaking up.
Yeah,
I think
I don't know what's going on.
That's his connection from London. of the UK.
Is it still got the same white connection? It's just they won't let them talk.
Oh, see, there you go.
Okay.
There you
stop.
Go.
Leave him alone, Joe.
All right.
Look, I'm to turn this some jokes into a serious conversation. Racism does exist. White privilege does exist. In order to find out, though, what the actual effects are, you have to have a black man or a black woman go to the same job interviews with the exact same qualifications as a white man or a white interview, a white girl, and have that black man be rejected a significant number of times because of racism. So let's say a college grad from Northwestern, a black Northwestern college grad, goes to 100 interviews. A white college grad from Notre Dame or Northwestern goes to the same 100 interviews. If that black man is rejected 90 times and the white man is rejected only 10 times, that shows that racism does exist if they acted the same in the interview, had the exact same qualifications, had practically the same type of personality, had the same type of skills to offer. But if that doesn't happen, then racism doesn't exist. As a matter of fact, there's a guy, a black economist, called Thomas Sowell, who from around the 1980s, I think, he said that a black college graduate, was making the same amount of money as a white college graduate. Now, when I hear people on Blog Talk Radio talk about how white is keeping black people down and black people can't do this and black people can't do that, I think I said on the show one time that I was on another show, and I asked the guy who was the host of the show, he was a black guy, and I asked anybody there, I said, look, why don't you guys do me a favor? Go to your bank, ask them if they will give you a business loan. Well, nobody did it except this one guy. He went to five different banks, and he said one of them gave him a serious offer. That does not sound like racism to me.
Well, Joe, I feel like this. What? Who is that?
I don't know. Because I'm hearing it too.
Yeah, it's a lot of noise.
And the echo. Okay, there it is. Okay, Joe, I say it like this, man. You know, I never put on Michael Jordan's shoes per se or yours.
Uh-huh.
So I can't say what happens in Michael Jordan's shoes, nor can I say what happens in Joe's shoes. But what I can say is I walk with my own shoes, and I've seen what I've seen for myself. I talk to people all over the world, and it's always the exact same thing everywhere. I mean, hey, there are breaks that white people get cut. White people get breaks, man. And if a black person happens to be successful somewhere, nine times out of ten, the first thing that'll come up is, oh, well, that's affirmative action.
I was going to bring that up. You're right.
There's some crazy background going on right now, man.
Man, you should have. You good right now. Everything you need to say, I can hear, man. So, talk.
Yeah, well. Y'all just saying, when about the problems or the ills of the average devil. Now, with the average devil, they just care about keeping their guns. And, you know, getting the rights of themselves. They don't care about the overall, the people. I mean, black folk, we care about their ills, the faggot agenda, and getting minor rights for these devils that keep the guns, you know, as much as they are. But they don't care about the rights of
the
average
fuck should white
man
give
in society,
a fuck about black people,
the ethnic
Sabrine.
Person in the society. So all I'm saying is, don't make sense us as melanated beings to even care
Jesus.
About these laws.
Why should white people give a fuck
and
about
these
black
legislations
people?
And these isms and schisms? When at the end of the day, it's all going to be made. All the laws in it was made for the good of the devil on this planet.
So that's why
we don't make
why.
Laws because we don't need no laws
to know how to behave. Now, the reason why black folk can't, the melanated beings can't behave on this planet is because of the programming that they've given us.
You still haven't answered
my question.
And
the fact that we're getting trained in a European, in their education, in their schools. Now, these people don't like you. Why would they treat you right? You know? Why would people who just had to enslave in chains? Just the other day, even I'm hearing, even in law, just to say that you're black, it means that you're 3/5 human beings. Now, if this is what they think, why? What makes you think they're going to educate you right?
Supreme, you believe that black people are being kept down overall by white people, right?
Of course. Your system, your education system, is just made
is that a
for
yes
us
or a no?
To put out good slaves for your system.
Is that, well, forget about slavery, will you? Every time I get into a discussion, it's always about slavery. Do you think now white people are keeping black people down?
The runnings of the countries the countries where they're
you're like everybody else when I get on these discussions.
African
nobody wants to answer the question.
Are all controlled by the laws of
yeah,
the
okay.
Devil.
Well, Hello, is Eric there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I am. I'm listening.
Like, yeah, let's restate our subject for today. It's about the Constitution. Should it be revised?
I'm going to say this, that it's pointless us as black people even
you know
giving
white people
a
have a real
about
easy,
about the
you know
Constitution.
Why? Because they can just wake up in the morning and they can get anything they want anytime they want with no effort.
Okay.
And they never get disappointed. They never get turned down for loans. They never get turned down for job applications. Being white
is rightly so because the devil thinks they won't pay back the loan.
Hello, Asa, I just want to make a...
You alone if they don't think that you
wait a minute, Supreme. I don't know if we're ready. Well, I don't know where the devil comes in. We're talking about should the U.S. Constitution be revised.
I just want to say Farrakhan just made a statement about two months ago, and he said, black people, stop blaming it on the white man. If you don't believe me, you can Google it, and you'll find where he said that for the first time he said it.
Look,
he's
you
a house nigger. He's pushing niggas into Scientology. The great Honorable Elijah Muhammad already told you who the white man was.
Okay, Mike.
He broke down the science and the math on that. It's only that.
You know, there is no doubt that white people feel superior
which was
to black
created
people.
By L. Ron Hubbard,
they have
who was
white
the
privilege.
Racist.
They do subtle insults.
Hello?
But my
wait
question is,
I'm not
are white
no
people keeping
insult.
Black people down?
I'm remorseful. You give out the
Supreme.
Racial
Supreme, can Joe please finish?
Yeah, let him finish.
Okay.
Supreme?
No, you.
Oh, yeah, I'm finished.
Okay, now.
What were you saying,
Joe?
Hold on. Go ahead. Matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and say this. Joe, back up to what you said. Why the fuck should white people care about black people?
Right.
You answer that for yourself. You answer that for yourself.
Why? Because
they're
two different people. Black people don't give a shit about the Chinese. They don't give a shit about Hispanics.
What do you mean?
Wait a minute.
What do you mean? We spend our money with them in our hoods, in our Koreans. What do you mean? We are a country of different people in each race to care about each other.
All right.
What are you talking about?
Hold on.
How do we get into this race battle?
Well, that's where I came in. That's why I'm picking up on.
I mean, I don't know where y'all come up at or where y'all from or whatnot, but I've seen black people coming up. I ain't seen nothing but betterment of black people, so I can't really say white people is holding blacks down because, I mean, we got the same opportunities that everybody else got, and most of the time we just holding ourselves down. Now, it's going to come a point where we all going to have to work together. We're going to have to work together. I heard Michael say a while ago the power is within the people with the Constitution. That's right, the power is with the people. But as long as we on these terms, the power will never be with the people, man. long as we can't even get along
okay.
with one
You're
another.
Right. And if you want to go back,
well, first of all,
I think Supreme is absolutely right about the Constitution. There is nothing in there on 1789 that was for black people, Chinese people, white women, or white men without property. It was almost completely exclusive for white men with property.
Right.
All those other people could not vote. So,
the
founding fathers were hypocrites.
If you're a white man and you go out and get
let's speed up to now. I understand that, but you're starting to talk like a tea party, and they always want to live in the past. Let's talk about now. Let's look in the present day now. Now, knowing what we know, what do we do now? We've always been divided. When someone makes statements like Robin saying white people
shouldn't... You don't even know nothing about international affairs.
What do you mean? Hold on. First of all, how can you...
abortion and all this shit and all the bad foods.
Sir, how can you come in my brain and tell me what I don't have in my memory, sir? How can you tell me I don't have knowledge? What do you mean? Stop that. Stop that, sir. You can't make that statement.
Information. You're saying it's in the party. Are you talking to me about tea party? I don't even know what a tea party is.
Excuse me, just one second.
I'm sorry. You're from across the sea. I'm sorry. But when I went in tea party, I mean, people that are talking about living in the past, Tea party wants to go back in the past. That's what I was.
Stop and frisk in America. I'm in New York. 90% of those people who are getting stopped and frisked are Latino and black. The same thing in the United Kingdom. We're only 2% in the UK, but we're 7 times more likely to get stopped than a white person, and they're 85% of the nation. What are you talking about? 70% of the jail population in the UK, when we're 2%, only 2 million of us in this country are filling up 70% of the colony of jails in the UK.
Okay.
Okay,
right,
I'm
asking
a
question. What are you going to do about it?
Ask me a question.
There was something in the Constitution.
Black folks never used to kill black folks.
Wait a minute, Supreme, allow me to just make a comment. I want to reference what Joe said. There was something in the Constitution for all of those groups that you said there was not. However, it was just prospective. That's the reason they were eventually able to get their rights recognized, is because the Constitution allowed for that. But originally, when it was drafted, you're right, because slavery was in force, and that was in direct denial that of the so-called inalienable rights doctrine.
Inalienable rights was in the Declaration of Independence. It wasn't in the Constitution.
No. Actually, the Declaration and the Constitution doesn't make sense without the Declaration of Independence. So even though a demarcation can be drawn between the documents, the Constitution rests upon the foundation of the Declaration of Independence.
Well, you can say that as that for that of the Magna Carta, too. The thing is that they are separate documents, and if people start talking about inalienable rights, they have to refer to the Declaration of Independence because it's not in the Constitution.
Yeah, but what you're missing, though, you're missing the essence of the argument. The Declaration of Independence is codified and embodied in the Constitution.
The Declaration of Independence is the foundation, supposedly, for the Constitution. But
well, right.
Are,
if it's
yeah.
the foundation for the Constitution,
well, so
obviously
the Magna Carta
there is
and,
a
you know, and so are a lot of other documents. The thing is,
a,
people
well,
are
no,
talking
we're talking about just the yes, that's true, and obviously, the so-called founding fathers drew from other documents. We're not excluding that, but we're talking about the documents as they exist and in their context. So, the Declaration of Independence goes directly with the Constitution, and the whole thing resulted from...
No, it doesn't, Rich.
No. The whole thing resulted...
Now, you can't say it goes directly to it, because anytime you're going to make a decision based upon a document, you may want to say, well, there's a precedence for it, but that precedence is not within that particular document. What I'm saying is that if people are going to talk about inalienable rights, if they're going to mention where it's coming from, they have to be accurate. It does not come from the Constitution.
I would disagree very strongly with you there, because the point of it is, and I think you're drawing a distinction without a difference. The Declaration of Independence cites the reason for the U.S. Constitution, and it talks about the rights that are spelled out very clearly. Those inalienable rights are, spelled out with specificity, and how they are to be protected, both at the state and federal level.
The Declaration of Independence? Declaration of Independence has nothing to do with state rights or federal rights.
No. Okay, if you look at the inalienable rights that individuals have per the Constitution,
right.
The right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness,
right.
Would you agree that the Constitution enforces that or guarantees that vis-a-vis government?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, it does not, because the Constitution, no one can totally give me liberty, sir. Tell me, I totally do not have the liberty to do what the hell I want to do. That's
no,
liberty does not exist. No, I'm not missing the point. I'll be quiet. I'll listen. I'm sorry.
No, really.
Michael, hold on.
I would agree that the Declaration of Independence is supposed to be the foundation for the Constitution, but the Constitution theoretically is the law of the land, and people have to go to the Constitution. Theoretically, because I don't give a rat's ass about the Constitution, because the Constitution was written very, very poorly, because the Constitution gives unlimited power to the federal government, even though the Bill of Rights is in there, and people don't understand the difference. For example, in the Constitution, there's eminent domain. Eminent domain gives the government unlimited rights to take away your property for whatever meager reason that they supposedly have. But because they can pay you a market price and they can choose that market price, people say, well, it's okay. However, when you're taking away somebody's property, right? Now, let's say you got a nice house, right? And for whatever reason, they want it. So they take away your house. When they take away your house under the eminent domain, they're not violating your right to free speech. They're not violating your right for assembly. They're not violating your right to bear arms. Therefore, when you take a look at it, despite all the, the pseudo-scholarly pronouncements coming down from Yale and Harvard, et cetera, your Bill of Rights is not being violated, but your right as a human being is.
And look at that. And look at the separation of powers between the federal government and the state government.
There is no
that's
separation of powers.
But hold on. But exactly, because the federal government comes and trumps everything. Like you're saying, I'm just agreeing with you.
No.
Right?
What I'm saying is that there is no separation of powers. Take a look at when there's a separation of powers.
Agreeing with you that the federal government has a trump, right?
I understand. What I'm trying to do is just explain, elaborate on that a little bit more. Is that when you're supposedly having a separation of powers, no power is supposed to influence the other power. The other branches are not supposed to be influenced by the other branches. However, when a person becomes a Supreme Court justice, are they not ratified by the Senate?
So yeah, they're chosen by the executive, though.
Huh?
Yeah, they're ratified, but they're chosen by the executive.
Well, there's, again, proof. There's no separation of powers. How would you like to belong to a club, right? You're black people in a club, and you've got the members there who are supposed to be the judges over what you do, chosen by the Ku Klux Klan.
No, separation of powers, Joe, is mean that if people within that state border passes a law and those people in that state want that, the federal government, as long as it go against their state constitution, and it really doesn't go against the federal constitution, the federal government can come and say, well, you know what, it goes against us, so we're going to come into your state, and we're going to change your laws that the citizens within your state change. So what I'm saying is, that type of situation...
The supremacy clause gives the federal government power to do that.
Right, so, okay, now I'm going back to what you're saying.
Okay.
So basically...
There's no separation between the three executive branches, is what I'm talking about. And you're talking about, Michael, about if the federal government has power over the state capitals. Those two different issues.
Right. There's two separation of power issues. That's what I was talking. I was talking about the separation of power between the state and the federal. That's what I was talking about.
Okay.
But
now,
I understand what you're talking about, the Senate. Yeah,
okay.
That's what I was talking
well,
about.
Here's an example of that. Let's take Washington State and Colorado. Both of them have approved the legal marijuana usage, right? But federal law still says it's not legal.
Right.
So,
and then
So, you know, what's the issue there?
Well, the federal government has usurped all the powers because they've been giving loans to state capitals, they've been giving loans to mayors, and there have been strings attached. So
and that's why you have some states want to secede from the government. They're saying the federal government, I don't like it. But like, I'm not saying they're going to do it, but some states like Texas saying we want to get away from the federal government. We want to be our own country because they don't like the way it's being ran. So I'm saying it's a contradiction. That's all I'm saying. If the citizens within that state vote, what is the state voting for? If the federal government can come and say, state, you passed a law, but we can come and override it and come and bring our forces and control it, why do we have a state legislator? It contradicts itself.
Well,
hey, just to be fair
now,
I think you guys need to
also talk about
what's right about the Constitution. And
I
agree there are some problems because we're working with people, and no matter what area you guys would rule over, I'm sure there would be people that would disagree, and the same with you. You would disagree with people. But when you're dealing with a nation this large, and you are, first of all, the Constitution was an experiment in freedom. It was rather revolutionary in history where you had people that actually had rights. They weren't controlled by some dictator. But I think in fairness, again, it would be appropriate for you guys, at least in Chapter 2, somewhere along the line, to talk about what works about the Constitution, if you know.
Well, one thing you have to realize, I don't like political science. I don't like them two words together. Because, see, politics is all theory. This is not a science. Things don't work, and I understand what they was trying to do, and you need to have some type of system. But the only thing I'm saying, sometimes that systems, and you were talking about nature earlier. You said nature doesn't change. Nature does change over time. And certain things that they wrote in the Constitution was against nature. Slaves and property, that was totally against nature. So some of the things that they did have in the Constitution at the time totally went against nature. It did. I mean, would anyone disagree with that?
Yeah, I love you a whole fucking bunch, but you misquoted me. I said human nature doesn't change. And the context I was speaking is that I was speaking for the validity of the Constitution because it was wrought out of human conflict. And as a result of that, I was telling Eric about the prospective and the futuristic vision of the Constitution being that human nature doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And nothing. All right.
Just agree with you, Mr. Solution. She said, amen, Mr. Solution. I actually agree. So she agrees with you 200%.
You have to read the history of the Constitution. The Constitution were fought by two parties. I'm not talking about official political parties. It was state power versus federal government power. Had very little to do with the individuals.
Mm-hmm.
You have to read, there's an article, it's called The Crack in the Constitution. You also can read Gary North, who talks about how the people who were making up the Constitution were in effect traitors because they weren't thinking about individuals within the 2 million populace of the United States at that time. Again, it was about should we make should we officialize, and I'm making up a new word, should we officialize monarchies by having a constitution give the power to the national government, the federal government, versus those who said, nah, we had that. Those are the people who wrote the Anti-Federalist Papers, not the Federalist Papers, but the Anti-Federalist Papers. And one of them, a guy named Brutus, I forget what his real name was. He was part of the convention. Maybe he wasn't part of the convention, but that's irrelevant. He talked about the General Welfare Clause. Article 1, Section 8 gives unlimited power to the national government. With that General Welfare Clause and the way that the judiciary can interpret it, the fucking government can do anything it goddamn pleases in the name of general welfare, just like what the government's doing now in the name of terrorism for your safety.
Yeah, but right. That's the part that I don't like right there. I don't need anybody to protect me that motherfucking much. I can handle myself some, but that Patriot Act was a blanket thrown over everything. You know, I don't like when you bring everyone into the office. Because one or two people are doing something and say, well, hey, we need to fix this problem. You know, it's getting to be a persistent problem, you know, with everybody. And, you know, we need to fix this. That Patriot Act was some bullshit. That was just a way to put your thumb on people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Especially right. All people, especially.
What kind of people?
I don't know whether it's just our
especially.
People. I think
oh.
It's just
people. Melanated beings,
original
people.
What did you...
The original people of this planet.
Oh, the original people. Oh, okay.
Mr. Solution, what do you think about the Patriot Act?
Think about the what now? Oh, the Patriot Act?
Yeah, what do you think? I mean, as far as that, you know, as an attorney, I mean, do you think it's pushing a little bit?
No. I was listening to you guys, and I think you draw some good points. My only point is, you know, never just come up with all the problems. I mean, offer some solutions. Now, what you're saying, I do think that was a usurpation or a violation of people's individual rights. And as I said initially, the Constitution was an experiment with human freedom. And I think that brief window opened because the intelligentsia or the people who were considered the best and brightest, their asses were under siege. And see, if you understand human nature, most of the time, people present their best under pressure. Now, what you are describing now is the big crunch with respect to liberty. There's a contraction. So the powers that be are attempting to retake power. And so there has to be a battle. There's a constant struggle. I mean, that's human nature, as Michael likes to project.
Yeah.
That's human nature. So what people are going to have to do is fight that. But there are issues in place. I mean, the law is very powerful. And although what Joe said, there is some commingling of the various branches of government, they do act as the best check upon each other. And I use the judiciary. The judiciary is outside, for the most part, is outside of the legislative and the executive branch, and it can actually pass judgment and correction on or upon the other branches.
The healthcare law. There is
still a power in the Constitution. Now, I would juxtapose you guys or say to you guys, what would you replace it with, and what country in the world do you know of right now, as Michael likes to say, in the present, in the now, what country do you know is operating under a better system?
I'll tell anybody in the world. I wouldn't want to be nowhere in the world. I would defend anybody talk bad about America. I would defend America. I wouldn't want to be nobody.
Really?
In the world.
Really? Really?
I mean, well, I'm talking about major countries. I'm not talking about an island or Barbados. I'm talking about major.
I'm talking about France.
There are other countries.
What about France?
I don't know. I have been to other countries. You don't know nothing about what's going on
in the world, Michael. That's the thing. You don't know nothing about what's going on in the world. That's why you say that.
Right.
Okay.
I'm from America, and I can agree to that. Well, I live in America, but I can agree to that, Michael. I mean, you know, I have been to a lot of other countries, and just talking to their own citizens, You know, hey, there are much better places. As a matter of fact, I was at a place in 2005, and all the natural-born citizens, the government actually went in and dissolved all of their accrued debt, all of the natural-born citizens. And that was just to give the citizens an opportunity to, if they were under so much pressure from paying their bills or whatever, to get a fresh start. So there are much better places than this place. I mean,
well, there were
places
politically, right?
No, he's talking financially.
Politically, yeah.
Well, hold on. When we say better place, what are we talking? I was talking about politics. I mean, I can't
right.
think.
Yeah, that's
well,
a, that's
yeah.
Good,
I, well, I am politically because I mean, well, I
that's a good point.
It's a
in
tough one, though. I mean,
in Abu
what
Dhabi,
what? Netherlands for what?
The other one. What's the other?
France.
Rich, United
France
Arab.
Is another.
Abu Dhabi. Well,
Britain
matter.
Would be good for you. Yeah, Britain would be good for you. It might be a bit better than where you're living now. Only for you, because of the lesser genetically modified food.
One. Abu Dhabi.
Exactly. I mean, I haven't
How
been to other countries,
hey,
but
hey,
I was
Abu
just talking
Dhabi
about
black folk. They ain't good. Them Arab countries ain't good for no black man. They got niggas as
the Arab countries and
in them Arab countries in Saudi Arabia, they got little. You got little kids holding books for younger Arabs.
Put like this. What about opportunity? Now nobody don't got us on that.
Wait, what about Africa?
Opportunity. You know why? Because United States with opportunity, if
now, I said, wait a minute. God dang it. Shoot. Everybody want to talk over each other. Now, listen to me for 1 minute, okay? Just listen for a minute.
You're so gambling hungry.
Supreme.
And they love all that gladiator.
Okay, anyway, this is what I'm saying. He the main one who needs to hear this. I don't want to hear that word, that N-word on my show. You understand, Supreme? He probably still talking. All right? Stop talking over each other. Good Lord. Yeah, I know the Constitution gives you freedom of speech. That don't mean you got to talk over each other, okay? Come on, y'all. Work with me here. All right.
Dang it.
That's right. Now, continue on. He's still talking.
Supreme,
did you hear
what? Respect, bravo.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
You know the problem with us? I heard y'all talking earlier about different states, and we should go here. Well, a problem with people of color in this country, we've always been divided. Some people want to go here and have their own state, like go to Georgia and have that all black state and everybody have this. And then some of the people still want to be able to do like they do now, go to work around white people and other people of other races and stuff like that. We've always been divided. You see what I'm saying? So at this point, I just let people do what they want. The only thing I had to do is focus on my goals, man. I'm sorry. I got to focus on my – I can't get too caught up in that stuff, man. I'm going to hold my fist up high that we should get a separate state. I can't.
Just one thing, though, Eric.
I'm listening.
As far as you were telling Supreme you didn't want to hear that word.
Yeah.
Then you're going to have to change your song at the beginning then because it's in that song.
See, Mr. Talk, you reminded me of my cousin. My cousin said he doesn't like to hear curse
show.
Words.
Hey, this is my damn show. I want to hear, this is my show. What did I just say?
One other item, gentlemen, regarding the Constitution, which is the subject.
Oh.
In the annals of history.
Back up.
Hello?
I ain't scared of y'all. Go ahead, Mr. Solution.
Thanks. In the annals of history, and this is a major sea change, by the way. In the annals of history, the people have always been servants of the hierarchy. In other words, it was the hierarchy that held the prominence, and I think Joe intimated or at least reflected on this earlier. But see, this was a sea change with the Constitution where the people, the power is invested in the people. Now, there's always an attempt by those in power, whether in other countries or even, you know, within this country. That's why it talks about defending the Constitution from foreign and domestic, you know, forces. But this country was a reversal of what was practiced pretty much throughout all history, and that was the power was invested in the people, and it was the people that the government was supposed to serve. And, Eric, I think your state has a better example of that. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you have a part-time legislator, legislature there, correct? Hello?
Yeah, I think Eric left. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Anyway, yeah, Texas has a part-time legislature, and Texas is booming now because it has allowed government to get out of the way. It has lower taxes. And, you know, the things that really promote commerce and individual progress. And so it's a better example than California, because we have these blood-sucking legislators, and they're sold out to special interest. And there's going to have to be a reversal of that. But that's the difference between the U.S. Constitution and, I would say, virtually every other constitution throughout the world. Now, some governments are rather benign, and they don't enforce, you know, the dictatorialness as vigorously as they could. But it is, I believe, written in their law, where the preeminent one is the government, and the people pretty much are to serve the government and not the reverse. So, and also, as I pointed out earlier just in our discussion, is that those jobs in Washington, as it started out and for quite a long time going forward, those were part-time jobs. I mean, people were elected to office to go to Washington to do a job, and then they had to come back and live under the laws they passed. So the Constitution, again, I'm in total favor of it. It's a fantastic document, and it almost brings tears to my eyes every time I read it.
But you also understand that it's like a piece of plastic that we put a little heat on, and we can mold it as we go along, correct?
Well, yeah, that's called the elastic clause.
The Constitution,
it is changeable, but it's
very
difficult, as it should be. But, yeah,
there
have been amendments made to the Constitution.
You can't mold the Constitution except for the amendments, which need a two-third vote from all the states.
Well, that's molding it.
Yeah, I was actually, in effect, agreeing with you, because the Constitution is used to mold the laws, as it were, so that the legislatures can do whatever they want. And they can do whatever they want because they have the rubber stamp of the judiciary, which always uses Article 1, Section 8, and even more than that, the General Welfare Clause uses the Commerce Clause to take care of just about 90% of the laws which have to do with economics.
Yeah,
the Constitution.
But that goes just to what I was... Okay, had you finished? I don't
know. The Constitution.
Yeah, that goes back
no,
to what we
I
were
said
saying
no.
earlier. But see,
Rich, no, I hadn't finished.
My position.
Rich.
Oh, you had not finished?
I had not finished.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We know you're a scholar in this subject, Mr. Solis. We know.
The thing is that when you take a look at the clauses itself within the Constitution, it kind of brings up confusion because we've been taught ever since we were kids how great the Constitution was. So we have an imprint on our brain, which is in conflict with what we see when we're adults. The General Welfare Clause sucks. It gives automatic, almost absolute power to the federal government. The eminent domain, if nothing else, epitomizes that particular power where we can take away property without violating the Bill of Rights. People have to go back to the history of the construction of the Constitution to find out what the hell it was all about. And it wasn't made by people. It wasn't made by people with vision, but it wasn't made by people who had as their major goal the rights of the individuals.
Now, right, hierarchy, but let's look at now. Right now, the government is people. The government all, when you say the word government, you're talking about some individuals, government, people at charge. I understand what you're saying, but times can always change. And I'm just saying that as we're evolving in the topic of the show, can we change it? Yes, we can. We can mold it as people. It's because we are the government.
Well, you say the government,
you're talking about people. You have to be talking about people. You're not talking about aliens from outer space.
Michael, allow me to just break in and say this. Joe, regarding what you were saying, and Michael is right, that is why, and I specified this earlier, legislators, as you divide them up, your representatives are elected every 2 years, and they have to live in the community of their constituents. And, of course, the president is elected every 4 years, and senators are elected every 6 years. But the real power is in the House with your legislators. And what has to happen is if they aren't doing what you want, you kick them out. Now, Joe, although I have issues with the eminent domain just as you do, particularly with that last Supreme Court ruling, I think, where they allow private contractors to actually influence the city to take people's property. I have real heartburn with that. But the problem is that I think you may be overstating that. That doesn't happen all the time. I know whenever it happens, it is bad. And I didn't agree with the Supreme Court on that particular position. But what can happen, though, is that can be changed. That can be changed in Congress, or it can be changed by the Supreme Court itself. And if you know, throughout history, the Supreme Court has made a lot of changes.
And they've gone back and forth.
Yeah, to the way things were practiced. And that's the way we are as human beings. We go back and forth. But we're going back and forth. We're going back and forth within the context of freedom. Okay? And this is something we have to work out.
No, Rich. Here's why. Because we're supposed to be a republic, and the Constitution is supposed to have laws, and aren't supposed to be changing back and forth with the winds, with the tides. That's why a republic is supposed to be a republic.
Well, hold up. Well, right there, you're wrong. Because I don't care some laws that bad way. We evolve as people. And I don't care some laws that you will make, but they will have to be some.
There will be different laws, Michael, but they still have to conform theoretically to the Constitution. What I would encourage you.
But wait a minute. But he's making a good point, though, Joe. And I don't know where your point is. Mr. Lucy, you can explain it logically better than I am.
We're not. We're disagreeing, Joe.
Human beings are mutable, and their laws are mutable. And so what we can do when we make bad laws, we have the opportunity to correct them. And I give you a good example. Now, in certain instances, I agree that people shouldn't die as a result of negligence. But even there, we have insurance. We have a way of addressing a particular problem. And it's
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm glad you said that in specific. Now, how is it that, and you know yourself, the majority of the people in Washington, D.C. are either doctors or attorneys. Now, the thing is, how is it that you can go and put a cap, a limit, on how much money this person has to pay out for their negligence? How did they come up on that? That's some bullshit.
Well,
yeah, because in some states they even put a cap on medical malpractice.
That's what I'm talking about.
I would suggest that if you don't put a cap on it, then you'll have $1 billion $1 billion decisions. And where are individual states going to come up with $1 billion? When you're going to have a spate of decisions after that, using that particular case as a precedent, it'll bankrupt the nation.
We're talking about specifically me being a doctor, you coming in as a patient, having a surgery done, and I leave a gauze or some scissors or something or some latex or something inside of you,
right?
It fucks you up, and it fucks you up, and all of a sudden you got to have another surgery. Something else is wrong with you. I don't see why there should be a cap on how much money you should get from me, because hey, ultimately, I made you worse off than you were before
That's
you came
true.
In there.
And they're actually, when you're talking about scissors, doctors have left scissors inside people's lungs, and they've had to have surgery to actually remove the scissors.
Right.
The reason why I think it is, and I'm not a legal scholar, is because if you don't have a cap on it, that means you'll have an unlimited amount. There have been decisions that have come down medically, I think, ranged in the $300 million categories.
Right, but you know what? Right, but hold up. If they do come into that, you can have a settlement for judge for $300 billion, and the judge say, I'll give you $30 million because law is meant to be interpreted.
Oh,
judge
yeah, he
can do
that.
Right, exactly, that cap, I agree with you, Lord. There shouldn't be no cap. It should be all judge on, and let it be a judge on what the judge says.
If somebody
or what the jury should
be,
because they're scared that the jury is going to do
it. Dollars for having gone through surgery, for getting scissors removed, and even though he may be on drugs for the rest of his life, or even $10 million, what else does a person need?
Right. But some
now,
of these cases are by the jury,
you know what?
Too,
there
though.
Been doctors who have actually amputated the wrong fucking leg because they're that stupid.
That's true, too.
Right,
mm-hmm.
And they're scared of the people, too, because some of these juries that go on these cases, it's by jury, too. And a lot
don't
of these juries, they use a reward.
We're going to end it there because you're going to get a whole new, topic. Check this out. Tomorrow, I'm going to give y'all a little taste of what tomorrow is so y'all think about it. Tomorrow is science versus religion. So I'm sure, you know, we'll have a great show on that one. Now, like I always do, get your final words in. Supreme, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Final words, brother.
Good show.
Fuck Whitey.
Shut up, Joe. All right. Thank you, Supreme. All right, your turn, Joe.
I have nothing to say.
Nothing to say. Okay, Vernon? On one? One twice? All right, Lo?
Great show. Hell of a show. Hey, Michael, bring your atheist friends with you tomorrow. Great show.
All right. Okay, Mr. Solution.
Yeah, good topic, Eric. I enjoyed it. Good discussion. I hope we do another discussion on the Constitution and maybe the impact of the laws. But, good topic.
Thank you. All right, y'all. That's it for today. All right. Yes. We talked about the Constitution today. As you can see, there's many, many different theories on exactly what the Constitution is and whether we actually can and cannot do anything to it, which we can. You know, like Michael said, it's like a piece of plastic. You can mold it, you know, add it to it as an amendment. But if it's not broke, why are we trying to really fix it, right? Right. I guess that's the bottom line. If it's not broke, why are we trying to fix it? Maybe tweak it a little bit, but not tear it down and start all over. Start all over again. Mr. Sousa say, why try and reinvent the wheel when the one we have is already working fine? But then again, Jeff did make a point. You know, at the time it was written, it wasn't for all of us. So there's two good points of view right there. Heck, I say, let's just try our best just to make it better, to live by it, and to make it just a little bit better. I think we can do that if we all come together. All right, y'all. Don't forget Saturday, special show, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, with special guest Dr. Vivi Monroe Congress, renowned author and life counselor. She'll be a guest host on the show with me. And the show Saturday will be relationships, conflicts, and resolutions. So I know we're going to have a good one there. That's why it's scheduled on Saturday. So y'all going to mark that down and get that time, clear it out, because we're going to have it. All right. Well, until tomorrow, people, just remember to give that special someone a hug, a kiss. Tell them you love them, you need them. You just appreciate them. All right? Because you never know. Never know when they'll be gone. And until tomorrow, as I said before, I will see y'all then. I'm out of here.